If you are a follower of Jesus Christ and you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you are in relationship with Jesus Christ, it's not all for nothing. It is all for His glory. And everything that you go through is for His glory. So we should suck it up and look for that glory rather than mope around about it and not be the witness that He expects us to be as we're going through hard times. And I just like to say that, you know, you talk about end times, and this is a little aside. We look at what's going on in the world today, and it's just so conforming to what the Bible says. And if you're here today and you're not a believer in Jesus Christ and you haven't accepted Jesus Christ, God is opening the book for you in real time so that you can see that His word is truth. And what I'm going to be talking to you today is from His word. Here at Trinity, we don't say anything else to you but what God has given us to say to you from His word. And His word is true, and He is showing that His word is true. And I've been saying this to people for the last week. The hottest spot in the world today is the Middle East. That is the most volatile area in the world today for world peace. And the hottest city in the world today is Jerusalem. And it just got hotter last week with the suggestion that it be divided. And both sides are hot about that suggestion. Well, 5,000 years ago, the Bible said that Jerusalem would be the thorn in the side of the world, would be the cause of all the problems in the world. Now, come on, if you can't believe that the Bible is true with that, it didn't say some city in the Middle East. It didn't say some place near the Middle East, around Egypt or so. It said Jerusalem. It said Jerusalem. How did they even know Jerusalem would exist today? Let alone that it would be the pivotal city in the peace of the world today. So I am talking to you from a word of truth. And today I'm going to talk to you, brothers and sisters in Christ, about how you should react to the tough times that you're going through, and that to let you know that it is all for the glory of God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You for Your love, Your mercy, Your grace. And Lord, I just pray that Your word is heard today, not my word. I pray that Your will is done today, Father. And I pray, Lord God, that Your seeds are planted in good soil, Father, and that Your word is multiplied 100 times in our lives and in the lives of others. And we just thank You so much for Your truthfulness. Thank You so much for Your grace and the peace that You give us. In Jesus' name, amen. The scene is the death of Lazarus. And in this story, everybody's probably heard this, when Jesus went and rose Lazarus. Lazarus was the brother of a family of two sisters and a brother, Mary and Martha. And he got sick and passed away, and Mary and Martha sent to have Jesus come and heal him. And this is the story of what went on in that situation and how Jesus handled that situation and why Jesus handled that situation the way that he did. And when we look at that story, we can look at our situations and hopefully get a better understanding of why is Jesus handling my situation the way that he is. And we start out verses 1 through 3, and we're in John chapter 11, if you haven't gotten there, and we will stay there. Okay. I'm not as well versed on exactly where to go as Pastor Dave, so I'm sorry, we'll just stay there. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sister sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." So in their situation, in this bad situation with their brother sick, as followers of Jesus Christ, as lovers of Jesus Christ, as believers in Jesus Christ, that's who they turned to. And they sent to let Jesus know the one he loves is sick. And they didn't say the one who loves you. They didn't depend on their love for Jesus, because our love for Jesus doesn't really do anything for us. It's Jesus's love for us that brings us salvation. Jesus's love for us that brings us healing. And it's his love for us that causes us to love him. And so they said, the one who you love. And their brother is sick and dying, but they didn't doubt that Jesus still loved him. They didn't say, hey, this guy's over here, you're forgetting about him, come on. And that's how we should respond in our tough time. Remember, Jesus loves us no matter what you're going through, no matter what's happening to you, you are the one that Jesus loves. Now, let's not get this twisted now. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him, he loves the world, he loves everyone in it, but everyone doesn't have the relationship that he had with Lazarus. Lazarus followed Jesus. Lazarus, Mary, and Martha loved Jesus. Mary, and Martha worshiped Jesus. They knew he was the Messiah. They confessed that about him. And so they had a relationship with him. They could go to him. You can't go to Jesus just because of John 3:16. You have to take hold of John 3:16. To go to Jesus and say, the one who you love is sick. The one who you love is out of money. The one who you love is about to lose his house. And so, Jesus is not going to force himself on anyone. People will call me a stalker if I called you up and didn't know you. Hey, I'm coming to watch the football game with you. Who are you? I'm Michael Tyler. I'll be there in a minute. I just come sit down in your house and watch football. Hey, after this game is over, we're going to go take a trip somewhere and, you know, just spend the weekend together. Jesus is not going to do that. He wants to have a relationship that you want with him, that you invite him in to have with you. And so Lazarus did that, and so that's why they sent and said, the one you love. Yes, Jesus loves everybody, but he doesn't have a relationship with everyone. He's not going to force that relationship with everyone. You have to invite him in. It says he stands at the door and knocks. Didn't say he's standing at the door with a battering ram. He's knocking, and it says that you open that door. Verses 4 through 6, when he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son might be glorified through it. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, yet then he heard that Lazarus was sick. When he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Jesus knew what this sickness was about. Jesus is not surprised at this sickness. Jesus knew that Lazarus was sick, and he knew what the outcome of it was gonna be. Jesus knows that you have problems. Jesus knows that you're going through things. And Jesus knows what the outcome of it's gonna be. He's not surprised at the things that are going on in your life. He's the same Jesus that was there when you came to the altar and asked him into your heart and gave him your life and brought you through all those other things that you got through. This thing is not different. This thing is not worse. This thing is not a surprise. It did not catch him off guard. He knows the purpose of it, and he knows what's going to happen in the end. He knows for you the purpose of the trial that you're going through, and he knows for you what's going to happen at the end of that trial. Now, in the, let's see, this version we're reading here is the New International Version, and it says, yet, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, and that gives you the impression that he knew Lazarus was sick, but he didn't go anyway. He waited anyway. But the King James Version says, therefore, he waited 2 days. And that tells me that he did it on purpose. He did it because he loved him. He's letting the family go through this for a reason. Not yet he waited 2 more days. Therefore, he waited 2 more days. So when we're going through stuff and Jesus is putting us through stuff and God's allowing things to happen, he knows what he's doing. He's doing it on purpose. He's doing it because he loves you. He's doing it because he wants to strengthen you. We're going through sanctification. The Holy Spirit is preparing us to spend eternity with God. This is a testing like to strengthen you type testing, not to see if you're going to fail. It's to strengthen you, to make you better, to prepare you to be with the Lord. Therefore, you are going through these trials. Therefore, these things are happening to you. Therefore, but he knows, and he knows the outcome. Verses 7 through 10. Then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you are going back there?" Jesus answered, "And there are not 12 hours of daylight. A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light." And now, they're talking about an incident that happened about 2 months ago when Jesus proclaimed who he was, proclaimed that he was God, that he was one with God, that he was Messiah. The Pharisees and the people tried to stone him, and they ran him out of town, basically. Now, the disciples, for 2 reasons, possibly did not want to go back there. One, they didn't want to get stoned. They didn't want to die. 2, they didn't think these people were worthy of him going back. You're going to go back there after they tried to stone you? You're going to go through that place? And when they got there, it said that that's when he spent some time with people and talking and still ministering before he went to see Lazarus. But another thing is, this is Jesus Christ they're with. This is the same Jesus that they saw heal people, that they saw do miracles, as they saw basically disappear when people tried to stone him. And but yet they still had doubts about their safety, about their well-being. They were going to go back there with the Son of Man, with Jesus Christ, with the Messiah, and they still had doubts about their well-being. Is that just like us? We receive the Messiah. We receive the Son of God. We receive the Creator of the universe, the one who has all power in his hands. And we doubt. And we worry. And we get anxious. And we're not sure. And we cry. And we moan. And we mope. But yet we have the Messiah with us, and he has taken us through it. They didn't want to go back to a place where they were going to get stoned, where they were going to find trouble, even though Jesus was going to go with them. We should face these times with our head up and just walk right through, because Jesus is with us. As Christians, people should see us and how we handle these bad times. $4.50 gas, losing the house, no jobs, the world's going crazy. We should be walking around a big old smile on our face looking stupid. So people will ask, "Why you look so stupid?" Because I got Jesus with me. Give yourself that opportunity for that witness. "I ain't worried about this. If gas costs $4, I ask God for $5. And if he gives me $3, I walk the rest of the way." Trust the Lord. Trust him. And then he said to them, and this was his answer to that,
that reply about not going back where he had almost been stoned. Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by daylight will not stumble, for he sees this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles."
Jesus said, "I got stuff to do, and there's an appointed time for me, and I can't worry about who's going to stone me or whatever. I have a job to do for my Father. I am the light. I am here. I have to do it while I'm here. And you have a job to do too, and you have to do it while I'm here, because if you try to do it in darkness, you will stumble." And that's the message to us. You know, when the rapture comes and all God's followers are taken to heaven, this world is not going to have a restrainer. As Christians, as followers of Christ, we're the ones who hold up the godliness in this world. We're the ones who are the salt of the earth. If it wasn't for believers in Christ, the world would be in chaos. And if one day there will be no believers in Christ, and the world will be in chaos. But that day hasn't come, and we are here, and the light of the world is still here through us. Jesus Christ is in our heart. We are that light. And so while the light is here, what are you doing? Are you doing the work? Or are you burning daylight, not getting anything done? Has anyone come to Jesus Christ because of you as a believer in Christ? Ooh, that's a tough question. That's a question some people don't even want asked. Has anyone had the opportunity to come to Christ because you let the Lord use you? And you know what? You might talk to someone about Jesus Christ and they listen and they walk away without accepting him, but you don't know. You don't know. I've had several students who poo-pooed my little Bible verses and my Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Am I telling them, no, that's not really God? And years later, "Mr. Tyler, I'm going to this church. I'm serving the Lord. Remember when I turned away and got mad at you for telling me that verse and you insulted me? Well, thank you." And we should be working while that daylight is here as followers of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus says, no, we don't have time to worry about trials and troubles. And we can't allow them to paralyze us and keep us from where we need to go, because something might happen bad. Jesus didn't have time to worry about that. He wanted his followers not to worry about that. He wants us not to worry about that. We have a job to do as followers of Christ. We are his witnesses. Didn't say you might be witnesses. It says you will be my witnesses. Verses 11 through 16. After he had said this, he went to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him." Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go that we may die with him." Now, they thought that he was saying that Lazarus was asleep. And so if you're sleeping, that means you're doing pretty well and you're comfortable and maybe the sickness is going away. So maybe we don't need to go. And so we don't have to worry about it. So let's just stay here, Jesus, and not get stoned. We don't have to go. And then another thing about that, Jesus said he's sleeping. And Jesus knew he was dead. You know, sometimes a lot of people say that Paul created Christianity. And they try to discount the writings of Paul that they don't agree with because they don't agree with it. They don't want to live that way. You know, every writing of Paul can be traced back to something Jesus said or did. And if it can't, Paul says, this is just me.
He doesn't attribute it to God. He doesn't attribute it to Jesus. He says, this is just me. This is just my advice. But everything else, you can trace back to Jesus. And Paul says that we are not to mourn as non-believers do when believers die. And he says, when they fall asleep. When they fall asleep. And so this is what Jesus was saying about Lazarus. And the disciples wanted to take this as an opportunity to get out of going. But Jesus said, had to plainly tell them, he's dead. But then he doesn't just say that he's dead. He says, and for your sake, I am glad I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him. And he was telling them, he died for a purpose. He died to strengthen your faith in me. He died so that more people will come to believe in me. And we've got to look at the trials and tribulations that we go through that same way. You are going through this so that you may believe. You are going through this so that your faith in me is strengthened, so that you will grab on and run to me, not away from me. That's the worst place to go. When Jesus told people that you have to drink my blood and eat my flesh, and people took him literally and ran away, and Jesus turned to Peter and said, well, how come you guys aren't going away? And Peter said, where else do we have to go? That should be our attitude. I'm in this. It's not good. It's hurting me. I'm mad. I'm sorrowful. But where else do I got to go? Jesus, I'm with you. And that's what Thomas said. Thomas said, let us also go that we may die with him. And okay, well, let's go because Jesus wants us to go. Lazarus is dead. When we get there, they're going to stone us. We'll be dead. But let's go with Jesus. But he still had that doubt. Didn't trust that Jesus would get him through it. And he just kind of resolved to the fact that Lazarus, everybody's dying, we're going to die too. And we can't have that attitude. We can't give up. We can't just say, whatever happens, happens. That's not what he wants us to do, and that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about just throwing your hands up and say, okay, Lord, whatever happens, happens. They went with Lord Jesus Christ. He wants you with him. He doesn't want you giving up. He wants you strong. And he wants you to go through it with him, with your head up, and people know that you're going through it, but you're not acting like everybody else. And he wants people to know why you're not acting like everybody else, because he's with you. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed home. Let's hold on to that. Mary stayed home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. She's professing a belief in who he was. If you were there, you would have healed him. He would have been no longer sick, and he wouldn't have died, because I know who you are. I know the power that you have. I've seen the miracles that you worked. And she had faith in him. And we profess faith in him. We've seen him work miracles in our lives. We've seen him change us. We've seen him work miracles in other people's lives. And we have faith in him. And we still love him. And we still honor him. She still honored him. We still worship him. But there's still something lacking. There's still something lacking. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. More faith. He's dead. And is she saying that I believe that you can raise him from the dead? Not sure about that. But she hasn't lost her faith in him.
She hasn't lost her faith in who he is. Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Now, if she believed that God will give him whatever he asked and will raise him from the dead, when he says, Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again," she should have ran through to the tomb and just waited for her brother to come out. But that's not her response. Her response is, Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day." Her faith is about the future. Her faith is about something that's going to happen way out there. And she's in this midst of this grieving. She has the Son of God, Jesus Christ, her master, right there with her. She says she believes God will give him whatever he asks. He tells her, "Your brother will rise again." And she says, "Yes, in the resurrection day." Is that where we fall down? We pray for God to take this thing away or change it or bring relief or show me a way. But do we really believe that what we really believe is really real? When we're saying that prayer, do we really expect it to happen? Do we really expect something to happen? And I believe the answer to that for most of us is no, because we're looking for a specific thing to happen. We want it to be our way. And of course, we're going to doubt that pinpoint thing. But are we praying for God's glory to be shown, no matter what happens? Or are we praying for our result? She wants her brother back. She's never seen that before. She's never seen that happen before. Yeah, Jesus rose people from the dead before, but not after they've been dead for 4 days. 4 days is like the cutoff period. The Bible's about threes. Four is nothing. You're done. And so she really did not believe that that would happen. And when we pray for our situations and want our situation to change, we need to believe that God will do what will glorify him, not what will satisfy us. God is not looking to satisfy us. He is looking to glorify himself. And the world doesn't like that. That doesn't sound good to the world. Wow, what a selfish God. But do you understand that in God's glory, you are satisfied? Do you understand that when God is glorified, you are lifted up? That when God is glorified, your situation is turned around and made better through his glorification? And God wants you to understand that. And that's what he wants you to look for. And when you look for that, then you start believing. Because you've seen God glorified. He was glorified through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then your prayers become real and meaningful. And Martha wanted something. And she wanted Jesus to do something, but she wasn't about his glorification. It was about what would satisfy me, and she didn't really hold on to it. And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" This is his response. When she said, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection." She says, "I know far off great things will happen." And Jesus said, "No, great things are happening right now. I am here right now. I am the resurrection. I am not here talking to you about something that's far off. I am here right now. Do you see me standing talking to you? I am the resurrection. I am the life. No, you don't have to wait. I'm talking about right now, your brother's going to come out of that tomb." The relief from your situation is not going to happen in a few days. It's not going to happen in a few months. It has happened already. And that's why we should walk around looking stupid, because it has happened already. Yes,
world, you see things in my life that you don't consider going right. Yes, I wish things were different, but I have the resurrection and the life with me right now. It's taken care of right now. It's right in front of me. It is here. And Jesus was telling Martha, no, not somewhere down the line. I'm here right now. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. I'm sorry, I skipped. Verse 27, yes, Lord, she told him, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. Now, Mary, when Jesus came, did not get up and run out to see him. Mary, when Jesus came, stayed there. Now, I've read commentaries that said that when she came out, she worshiped him and was glad to see him and loved him, but it doesn't say that. Mary's a person just like we are. Mary had seen the miracles Jesus had done. Mary had anointed Jesus with oil. Mary had sat at his feet and listened to him while her sister was off doing stuff around the house. And she had this love, belief in her Lord, and he let her down. We sent for you 4 days ago. And if you had come here, my brother wouldn't have died. So Martha and Mary are there. They send word to them that Jesus is here. Martha goes running out. Oh, he is, huh? He's here now? Yeah, all right, see you, Martha. So maybe she's got an attitude. We're going through stuff and it's not right, it's not working out. The thing that we want to happen is not happening, and we start to kind of get a little attitude with the Lord. We've all had that. Why do I have to go through this now? I thought you were God. I thought I was your child. I thought you loved me. I thought you could fix things. And we start to get a little attitude. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now, Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And maybe when Martha went and whispered, Jesus wants to see you now, she has lost it. And she just ran out there. If you were here, my brother wouldn't have died. You're here now. And she just fell down at his feet in dismay, in despair, and just crumbled because he didn't do it. He didn't come and save her brother. And she was just broken and brokenhearted. And do we get like that in our times of trouble? When things aren't going right, when we're going through hardships, when our loved ones are in the hospital dying, when we're losing our house, when we don't have a job, when plans aren't going as we wanted them to go. Do we have an attitude? Do we wonder where God is? Do we wonder where Jesus is? Well, he told us, he is right there. He is the resurrection. He is the life. He's there with you through it. Therefore, he waited 2 days. He knows what he's doing, and we have to understand and believe that. And think back on the other things that you've been through. How did they turn out? What has been going on in your life since those things? How has God been glorified? How have you been lifted up? How have you been strengthened through those things? And remember that and hold on to those things and know and understand that you're going through stuff for God's glory, for a purpose. Jesus doesn't just arbitrarily allow things to happen. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, nothing happens to you in your life that doesn't go through Jesus. Nothing. Everything has a purpose, and that purpose is to glorify God. If you are not a follower of Jesus Christ, stuff just happens to you. On your way to death, on your way to eternity with Satan, and that's it. And that's a harsh truth. But when you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you have received him into your heart, and he loves you in that relationship, you got to remember, he is always there. What you're going through is planned. It's part of your sanctification. That's your IEP. In education, for special education students, they have an individual education plan. So if I have a special education student in my classroom, they send me his IEP. He needs to sit up in the front of the classroom. You need to give him 15 more minutes to do the test. And you need to put his reading in smaller chunks. You need to go through this death of this loved one. You need to lose your home. You need to lose your job. You need to suffer through this trial. Why did he give me that for my students? For their good. Why are you getting this plan? For your good and for God's glory. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied, and Jesus wept. Jesus was troubled about what was going on around there. He had shown God's glory. He had shown who he was, what he could do. And look at all the sadness, even while he showed up. Yeah, Lazarus is still dead, but he's there. That's not good enough for them. It's got to be good enough that Jesus is there. Yeah, you're still going through, but he is there. And it troubles him when we don't recognize that. It troubles him when that's not enough. He has to be your portion. He has to be enough. Even though the thing is still there, he is there and he overrides that thing. And he should be the one that you overlook that thing for. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more moved, came to the tomb. Now, again, in the King James Version, it says troubled and moved. This version says troubled and moved. In the King James Version, it said he groaned. He groaned. And that gives us more a picture of disappointment. That gives us more a picture of a sadness over their reaction to him. Don't they know? Don't they know who I am? Don't they know what I can do? Don't they know who my Father is? And it troubled him. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha and the sister of the dead man, "by this time there's a bad odor, for there has been there 4 days." Do you think that your thing is too stinky for God to handle? It's just, he can't, you know, it's a bad odor. "You can't handle this, Lord. I'm just going to sit here and be miserable about it. You can't do anything about it." And see, Jesus waited on purpose for it to be stinky. Maybe he's going to wait for your thing to get really stinky. Maybe his philosophy is the stinkier, the more glory. And so when it seems to you that the timing is bad, when it seems to you that Jesus should have took care of this already, when it seems to you that your situation should have changed 3 days ago, 2 days ago, 4 days ago, Jesus is just waiting for it to get stinkier, to bring more glory when it does change. And don't tell him when he's ready to move it, when he's ready to make the change, don't put in your head that it's too far gone. It's never too far gone. Maybe it's gone farther than you wanted it to go. Maybe it's worse than you want it to be. But as a follower of Jesus Christ, it's exactly where Jesus Christ wants it to be. Jesus needed Lazarus to be stinky because he had never raised a stinky person before. This is the first stinky that he raised. And he says that he has a purpose for it. So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I say this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." He's raised people from the dead before, but never a 4-day-old body. He's never raised a body with an odor before, and he says there's a purpose, that they may believe that you sent me. There's a purpose for what you're going through. There's a reason you're going through it for so long. There's a reason he hasn't fixed it yet. There's a reason that loved one passed away. If you call yourself a child of God, a follower of Jesus Christ, then you praise God and worship God and give him honor, worship, and glory no matter what. No matter how stinky it gets, because he has a purpose for it. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did put their faith in him. They put their faith in him because of what Mary and Martha and Lazarus went through. It was for God's glory and a purpose. We exist as followers of Jesus Christ for God's glory and a purpose. And if we hold on to that, and grab on to that purpose, the things that we go through in life, we will understand it. And we don't have to like it, but we'll understand it. Jesus used his family so that many will believe in him. Do many people believe in him because of you? Are you allowing God to use all your circumstances to glorify him? Romans 8:28 says, "All things turn out for good for those who love the Lord." Another Paul writing. Wonder where he got that from. All things. And are you allowing God to use those things to glorify him and so that others may believe? In all situations and circumstances, rejoice in the fact that God is using you. Never stop worshiping God. He is worthy even when you don't think he is. Even when you don't think he's worthy, he is worthy. And all of us have thought at one time or another, because of what we're going through, because of the situation, that he's not worthy of your praise and worship. And maybe you weren't having that conscious thought, he's not worthy, but you just couldn't bring yourself to do it. Maybe you stayed away from church because the worship songs are too good, and you just can't bring yourself to sing them. And maybe if you're sitting in church, you stand up and your mouth is shut because at that moment, what you're going through, you don't feel like worshiping God. That's when you really should worship God. That's when you need to worship him the most. And when you can do that, when you can sing and worship and praise and pray to him and say, thank you for what I'm going through, Lord. Thank you for what you're putting me through. Thank you for these trials. Thank you for this life that I am living for your glory. That's when God is glorified. That's when he gets the glory. And you know, there are people in other countries where Christianity is illegal. And they, you know, I'm talking about losing jobs and homes and maybe loved ones. They're talking about getting tortured and jailed and beaten. And it kind of makes me feel like, wow, what am I, you know, what am I worried about? What am I griping about? And what they have to go through. But you know what? The message is the same for them. The message is the same for them. But God is going to honor them with crowns, with many crowns, for allowing themselves to be used for his glory in that way. And we'll get crowns when we allow that. But I believe that they're going to get more crowns. The Bible teaches that there are levels of crowns, of rewards. And then that made me start thinking, well, if there are levels, then aren't people going to be like thinking, that Chinese guy there got beat up for Jesus and he has 10 crowns. I live in America. I didn't get a chance to get beat up for Jesus. And I only got 2 crowns. But no, I don't believe that's what it's going to be, because right now, I honor that Chinese guy that's getting beat up. And I pray for him. And I love him. And I am in awe of him. So when I see him getting those crowns, that I'm going to have that feeling 10 times over. I won't be jealous. And he's not going to look back at me and say, you only got 2 crowns. Maybe he'll come and thank me for praying for him, for going through what he went through. So don't think that because they're going through that and you're only going through that, that there's a difference. Both of us, all of us have to thank God, hold on to him, pray, and go through it and suck it up for his glory. Amen?
Amen. Amen.